personally, what really drives me right now, besides the fact that I want everyone to be happy, you know, I mean, really happy, ecstatically thrilled about being alive, intoxicated with the miracle of being human. I mean, when I often like to say to people, the amount that you have to take for granted to not be happy with being human is amazing. You know, I mean, I get it. We have, many of us have had difficult times of all types. I don't mean in any way to diminish the pain that we experience. But if you pit that against having never been born, at least for me, being born wins. You know, because what if you'd never been born and you didn't even know it was possible to be? You'd be zero. And at some point you start to go, it's actually kind of a miracle to be here. When you realize what a miracle it is to be alive, to be human, to be in a body and not even have any idea how you got here, all you want is everyone to be happy. You're like, we should all be dancing. We made it. We're born. You know, it's like, this is why you have birthdays. This is a big day, you know. But, you know, and so that's one motive, which is I just want everyone to get it. It's like, wow, we're here. And you want to like look and go, we can do anything we want here. We made it. The other thing, and a related thing, is I just feel like there is so much suffering in the world. And, you know, I always wanted to make the world a better place. So when I studied physics as an undergraduate, then became an engineer, I had infinite faith in science, that science was going to be able to technologize our way out of our problems. And at some point I realized that may not work, at least not science alone. And I started to get into psychology, and then I get into cognitive psychology and neuroscience, and eventually someone introduced me to meditation. And when I started having meditation experiences is when I thought, okay, this is it. Because I started to experience shifts in consciousness that I thought this, because, you know, then I quit my engineering job and I started to work in the group homes for teens. But what I realized is I loved that job. We had about 15 boys and girls, and you'd work with them, and they'd come in one state. It was a 9-month program. They'd be much different at the end. And then what would you do with them? Put them back where they were. And, you know, I mean, their behaviors were mostly adaptive. So if you didn't change the culture they were coming out of, you weren't going to really fix the problem. So I thought, the only thing that's going to work here is we need to have a massive shift in consciousness. So all I want to do is anything I can do that might help that. So I wrote a book called Paradigm Shifting, because it's good language for our time. And I want to explain what a paradigm is with a little anecdote, which I just happen to think is an amazing one. This is supposedly a story about Ludwig Wittgenstein, a famous 20th century philosopher, and one of his students. I looked online, you know, to see if I could back that up, and it seems to be refuted as much as it's asserted, so who knows. But I go with it. So Wittgenstein supposedly said to one of his students, you know, trying to like goad him into conversation, he said, so let me ask you something. And the student said, okay. Why do you think it is that so many people for so long thought that the sun went around the earth, when in actuality, the earth is rotating? And so the student thought about it. You can think about it. Big moment. Wittgenstein was probably already famous. And the student said, well, Ludwig, they were close. He said, of course, it's because it looks like the sun goes around the earth. And Wittgenstein said, oh, really? So what would it look like if the earth were rotating? So, of course, the joke is the earth is rotating. So the way it looks is exactly how it would look if the earth were rotating. The reason why that's such a powerful anecdote is it does look to us like the sun rises, right? When you look at the horizon, it looks like the sun rises, but it's not rising. So why does it look like the sun's rising? it looks like the sun's rising because we've been taught that the sun rises. And because we use the term sunrise and sunset, anyone heard of Buckminster Fuller, famous futurist? And he had a pet peeve about using the term sunset and sunrise. He was almost angry about it. You know, he thought this is indoctrinating children into false ideas of reality. We should talk about morning rotation and evening rotation so that we're actually talking about what's happening. But if this is what I want you to do the next time you're at a sunset or a sunrise. If you're at a sunrise, right, rather than sitting there assuming that you're watching the sun come up, which is what we're trained to do, try to really feel yourself rotating forward into the sun. You can do it. You sit, stand there, and you go, oh, we're going around the corner. And you see, the sun isn't going up. We're going around. And if we all talked that way, so this is Buckminster Fuller's point. If we all spoke that way, it wouldn't look like the sun was coming up. It would look like we were rotating. And his bigger point, because he was, you know, an ecologist, was if we were, in that sense, if we were recalibrating our nervous system so that we actually felt ourselves on the surface of a sphere, we would have a more tangible experience of the planet we're on, and it would be that much harder to keep destroying it. But as long as we allow ourselves to live in a flat earth conception, because that's a flat earth conception of reality. So when the earth is a flat plane, then the sun comes up and down. But as long as we allow ourselves to keep living in a conception of reality that's basically from the Middle Ages, that makes it that much easier to do things that end up destroying the planet, because we're not feeling the reality of what we're actually standing on. This was his point. I think there's a million different ways which we are constantly indoctrinated into false ideas about what's true. And we reinforce them with each other all the time, unwittingly, because we're just using common language. But the kind of radical change we need on the planet is going to require a massive shift in consciousness. You know, just a big shift in values and perceptions. And you're not going to educate people into that. It's not an educational problem. It's deeper than it has to do with shifting the place you're looking from. You know, the shift we want is like the shift from the classical mind of the Middle Ages to the enlightened mind of the modern age. You know, that's a major shift. So this is all to reveal to you some of what, I mean, I do nothing but this kind of teaching all the time. And I'm lucky I get to, like, make a living doing this, which is amazing. But I did it before I was making a living doing it. And if I stopped making a living doing it, I would still do it, because I don't know what else to do. Like, I just don't know. This feels like the most valuable thing I can do for the time that we're in. If something else comes along that's more valuable, I'll do it. But this is, so far, what's revealed itself as the most valuable thing. So the point is, we don't live in reality. We live in an interpreted version of reality. And that the interpretation of reality that we live in can shift dramatically. And when it does, it will unleash potentials that will take us beyond what's currently possible. That's how I see it. And you can agree or not agree, but I just want to, I get to share with you how I see it. So that's what I would want to share to you, because that's where I am pinning my hopes for the future. And then, of course, seeing all of you here today, you know, being as young as you are, having the opportunity to be in a program like this, which is really all about exploring, giving you the opportunity to explore the kinds of tools that can make dramatic shifts in consciousness. And this is becoming more available. I have a friend who just finished her PhD in what's called transformative education, which essentially is essentially about educating for paradigm shifts. So it's saying, rather than just educating for skills or educating for knowledge or even educating for better thinking. It's educating for a new kind of thinking, for a different way of approaching things. And she's been, you know, doing her PhD research on what it takes to transform somebody's perspective versus just, you know, add knowledge or skills. And I find that to be thrilling. I find the fact that you're all here thrilling. I find the fact that you can sit here. You know, it may not seem like a big deal to you that you can all sit here for 5 hours and talk about meditation, listen to meditation, be as attentive as you are, be as quiet as you are, and then sit in that beautiful space and contribute to the stillness the way you do. It seems natural to you. But an enormous amount of effort over centuries, but particularly decades, has gone into creating the context within which something like this could happen. I think it's fantastic that you're all involved in this, and you were absolutely magnificent. And all I really want to do is encourage you to throw yourself into it as deeply as you can, because not only can it completely transform your life, but your transformed life can be part of completely transforming just the way life is, the way human life is run on the planet.